Hare Krishna. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Srimad Bhagavatam class in Shri Shri Radha Kalachanji Dham. We'll begin by chanting Jai Radha Madhava. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari.
Krishna, Krishna, Krishna.
Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parivaja Kacharya Ashtotara Sata Srimad His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jayom Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parivaja Kacharya Ashtotara Sata Srimad Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jai Shri Rup Sanatan Bhatta Raghunath Shri Jiva Gopala Bhatta Dasa Raghunath Sad Goswami Prabhu Ki Jai. Namacharya Shila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Premseko Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vinda Ki Jai. Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shyama Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai. Shri Mayapur Dham Ki Jai. Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai. Ganga Maya Ki Jai, Yamuna Maya Ki Jai, Bhakti Devi Ki Jai, Tulasi Devi Ki Jai, Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai, Shri Harinam Sankirtan Ki Jai, Grantaraj Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Skon Guru Vrinda Ki Jai, Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai, Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bol, All glories to the assembled devotees, Hare Krishna, All glories to the assembled devotees, Hare Krishna, All glories to the assembled devotees, Hare Krishna, All glories to Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga, All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prayashtaya Bhutale Shimate Radhanath Swamti Namne Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prayashtaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Sam Namaste, Saraswati Devi, Lord of Lani, Pujani, Rusheshani, Asyadashtani. Today, we continue reading from the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 16, entitled The Lord's Opulence, text number 25, and also 26, because 25 does not have a purport. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Text 25. Srinam
Srinam
Tu
Tu
Shatarupaham
Shatarupaham
Pumsam
Pumsam
Swayambhuvo
Swayambhuvo
Manuhu
Manuhu
Narayano
Narayano
Muninam
Muninam
Cha
Cha
Kumaro
Kumaro
Brahmacharinam
Brahmacharinam
Srinam tu shatarupaham
Srinam tu shatarupaham
Pumsam swayambhuvo manuhu
Pumsam swayambhuvo manuhu
Narayano muninam cha
Narayano muninam cha
Kumaro brahmacharinam
Kumaro brahmacharinam.
Is that the correct meter, Prabhu? Srinam tu satarupaham
Srinam tu satarupaham
Pumsam swayambhuvo manuhu
Pumsam swayambhuvo manuhu
Narayano muninam cha
Narayano muninam cha
Kumaro brahmacharinam
Kumaro brahmacharinam
Srinam tu satarupaham
Srinam tu
Pumsan swayambhuvo manuhu
Pumsan swayambhuvo manuhu
Narayano muninam cha
Narayano muninam cha
Kumaro brahmacharinam
Kumaro brahmacharinam.
Please chant.
Srinam tu satarupaham
Srinam tu satarupaham
Pumsan
swayambhuvaho manuhu
Narayano
muninam cha
Kumaro
brahmacharinam
Srinam tu satarupaham
Srinam tu shatarupaham
Pumsan
swayambhuvaho manu
Narayanam muninam cha
Narayanam muninam cha
Kumaro brahmacharinam
Kumaro brahmacharinam. Word for word. Srinam.
Srinam.
Among ladies.
Among ladies.
Two. Indeed.
Indeed.
Shatarupa.
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 Aham.
Aham.
I am.
I am.
Pumsam.
Pumsam.
Among male personalities.
Among male personalities.
Swayambhuvaha Manu.
Swayambhuvaha.
The great. The great Prajapati,
the great Prajapati.
Swayambhuva Manu,
Swayambhuva Manu.
Narayana,
Narayana,
the sage Narayana,
Narayana.
Muninam,
Muninam,
among saintly sages,
among saintly sages.
Cha,
Cha.
Also,
also,
Kumara,
Kumara.
Sanat Kumar,
Sanat Kumar.
Brahmacharinam,
Brahmacharinam,
among brahmacharis. Translation, By the loving disciples of Srila Prabhupada. Jai Srila Prabhupada.
Among ladies, I am Shatarupa, and among male personalities, I am her husband, Swayambhuva Manu. I am Narayana among the sages, and Sanat Kumar among brahmacharis.
This verse does not have a purport, so we'll continue to the next one. Text 26.
Dharmanam asmi sanyasah, kshemanam abirmatihi, guyanam na guyanam su nrityam maunam, mitunanam ajastva aham.
Translation.
Among religious principles, I am renunciation. And of all types of security, I am consciousness of the eternal soul within. Of secrets, I am pleasant speech and silence. And among sexual pairs, I am Brahma.
Purport.
One who realizes the eternal soul within no longer fears any material situation, and thus is qualified to accept the renounced order of life, sannyas. Certainly, fear is one of the great miseries of material life. Therefore, the gift of fearlessness is very valuable and represents Lord Krishna. Both in ordinary pleasant speech and silence, very few confidential things are revealed, and thus diplomacy and silence are both aids to secrecy. Lord Brahma is prominent among sexual pairs because the original beautiful couple, Swayambhuva Manu and Satarupa, emerged from Lord Brahma's body, as explained in chapter 12 of the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Om Ajnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimate Radhanatha Swamin Iti Namine. Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pasyatya Deshatarine. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
We are continuing to read or listen to Krishna's opulences as Krishna is explaining them to his confidential friend and devotee, Uddhava Prabhu. So in this two texts, we see several of Krishna's opulences being described. In text 25, Krishna is explaining about how among ladies he is Satarupa, and among male personalities her husband Swayambhuva Manu. There is description of, as we read in the purport, about how this happened, the third canto, 12th chapter. Maybe I thought I'll just read that first, or maybe we can... It comes in the next purport, so maybe I will do it in the end. Then among the sages, Krishna is represented by Narayan, and among the brahmacharis by Sanat Kumar. And then in text 26, Krishna says, among religious principles, he is renunciation. I was listening to one lecture on the same two texts by His Holiness Prahlada Nanda Swami, and I thought I will just try to repeat what I heard. On my own, I did not have much realization after reading these two texts, maybe very little. And I thought I'll also remind myself that I'm speaking only for my own purification, although I'm not qualified to do so. Maharaj was mentioning how Krishna is very, very difficult for us to understand.
Very
difficult for us to understand. Even this is confirmed when even the pure devotees, they say it is very hard for them to understand Krishna, what to speak of conditioned souls like me. So, the first point in this text 26 that is being made is Krishna says that he is renunciation among religious principles. And so one may ask the question, how do we practice renunciation? And in that class that I heard, Maharaj was making the point that there are two main factors when we think of renunciation that are like very key. One is we need to have determination, and the other is to have faith in this process of Krishna consciousness. So what one may again question, like what is determination? Because sometimes like we have this tendency, like how Like we speak of some really high philosophy, but we may not be able to practice it, or we may not understand. So the English definition of determination is to be fixed up, or deter, to not deter in any situation. And what when we think like what could be a reason why we may not be determined, and Srila Prabhupada made this point that there are two things that can hinder one's progress in Krishna consciousness, and Srila Prabhupada mentioned they were women and wealth.
Women and wealth.
Yeah.
Sounds pretty simple.
But literally, we cannot just take women. For a man, it may be a woman, and for a woman, it may be a man. So, and of course, what to speak of in this Kali Yuga? There could be so many other things where people are attracted to the same sex, or to animals, or to whatnot. Such a bad situation that we are unfortunately in today's age of Kali Yuga. And when we speak of wealth, that's another hindrance, that it is our ability to control material nature. We may have some fame, or we may have some influence, or we may have material possessions, and the general tendency is we want to use these for our own selfish desires, for our own selfish interests. So it is very, very important for us to actually to become determined in Krishna consciousness, that we are very, very careful to not indulge in such activities. And even Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that, although having said these two points, that we have to be careful about women and wealth, but still, the point that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur makes is that we need to take care of our body, mind and soul so that our progress in Krishna consciousness is gradual. It's not that we totally give up wealth, or we totally give up
some regulated form of sense gratification. We have to take care of our body, eat prasadam, clean our body, take care of our families, so on and so forth. That is what I thought. I'll speak a little bit about determination. And then when it comes to faith, for the first or the most important point in this aspect of faith is that we believe that there is a goal. And our goal is to please Guru and Krishna. And how does one develop faith? Srila Prabhupada mentions that controlling the senses is the first aspect of developing faith in this process of Krishna consciousness. And we have so many conditionings from our previous lives. So how do we overcome this? Especially I'm speaking about myself. And once I heard in this lecture by His Holiness Giriraj Maharaj, I think mentioned this before, like prayers can do such an amazing thing for us. Like we pray to the deities, we pray to the devotees, we pray to our spiritual masters, we pray to Srila Prabhupada. Because on our own we have very little that we can do. We are in this world where Mayadevi is very, very strong. And we are very insignificant. So praying to the lordships and the spiritual masters and the devotees can help us actually. And even once Srila Prabhupada was asked, when he was in front of the deities taking darshan, Srila Prabhupada, what is your... were you praying something? And then Srila Prabhupada said, yes, I was praying to Krishna to protect me from Mayadevi. And when, of course, Srila Prabhupada was trying to be humble, but still, that is a big, big lesson for us, that Mayadevi is very strong, and unfortunately, we don't take her so strongly, but we should make every endeavor and take shelter of Krishna. And then again, coming back to the aspect of controlling the senses, what does controlling the senses mean? And controlling the senses mean we are using the senses in Krishna's service and not for our sense gratification. Like how Srila Rupa Goswami's philosophy of... where we engage everything in Krishna's service. Engaging everything in Krishna's service. Anukulena. Actually, there's that word where we use everything in Krishna's service. I was thinking of that word. I don't recollect it right now, but maybe. Anyways, and again, going back to this aspect of controlling the senses, like Maharaj, His Holiness Prahladananda Maharaj made some really wonderful points, like how he was, based on Krishna's statements in the Bhagavad Gita, like how we have the soul, and then beneath the soul we have the intelligence, then beneath the intelligence the mind, then the senses and the dull matter, and then we need to control our mind in order to control our senses. That's the first thing, because the mind's nature is it's flickering, right? Like even as I speak, my mind is flickering. I'm thinking of what to speak the next, or like that, like so the mind is always like changing, accepting, rejecting. 1 minute is thinking of something and then next minute is thinking of something else. So how do we control the mind? And Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that we use our intelligence. Our intelligence is much subtler, or I would say it's much higher than the mind. So we use our intelligence. But that intelligence also needs strengthening. It cannot just be any intelligence. So, and the point that was being made is, once intelligence can be strengthened, if one gets realization. And realization comes from following Krishna consciousness sincerely, like the process that Srila Prabhupada gave us, reading or listening to lectures. And reading Srila Prabhupada's books is such an amazing way of getting realizations, strengthening our intelligence. It is said that Srila Prabhupada is our prime Siksha Guru, and especially for me, I have a long way in order to actually implement this in my life of reading Srila Prabhupada's books with a prayerful mood. Because Srila Prabhupada said he has given everything that we need to know in his books. And Srila Prabhupada was once asked his book distributors if they are reading books. Because if we don't read, then how will we convince others to buy the books and read them? So that is very, very important. We need to find, of course, we are busy with so many services, taking care of family or whatever, but still we have to make like how Krishna says in the nectar of, or in the nectar of devotion, it is said, right? Ena tena prakarena mana Krishna niveshayat. Like somehow or the other, we want to ena tena prakarena mana Krishna niveshayat sarva vidhi nishedasyor etayor eva kinkara. If I remember that correctly, that verse from Nectar of Devotion, like we have to somehow or the other think of Krishna. And all the religious principles and rules and regulations are subservient to this one principle of always remembering Krishna. So, like coming back to reading Srila Prabhupada's books, like one devotee was telling to me, like he was finding it hard to read Srila Prabhupada's books, but now recently he has started reading the books even while taking prasadam. That's his break at work. And he was able to finish his first book, I think, yesterday or day before yesterday. So one practical way. Like somehow, of course, we want to sit and read full time, like with full focus and full attention, doing nothing else. But a start somewhere is, and then maybe Krishna will, or not maybe, Krishna seeing our sincerity can make so many things for us to help us in our service of reading Srila Prabhupada's books or any other service for that matter. And another devotee was saying like how no matter what they try to meet once a week or however often possible, and all they do is just read for half an hour. That's it. So maybe you know someone who lives next door to you or something like that, or maybe someone who lives in your house could read the books together.
For half an hour a day?
How much? Yeah, a day or every few days or whatever your schedule allows. It's a start. Of course, the idea is to read daily. Read daily and listen to also daily.
We try to read here?
Yeah, like how we are doing here. Narottam Prabhu is saying we try to read here in the temple morning and evening every day. And then that way we get realizations from reading these books, and our intelligence is strengthened, and then our mind is under control and our senses are under control. Like this is the sequence that Maharaj was saying. So it all comes back to what Srila Prabhupada gave us, like he gave us like the perfect process of reading every day and the whole temple program. And coming back to the faith aspect, like I was talking about two points, how to practice renunciation, determination and faith. So like even Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, like how developing faith in him is not an overnight process. It's a gradual process. And even in material, unfortunately, even in material life, we see sometimes people, they want quick fix, magic pills or miracles to fix their health. They don't want to They may not want to follow a balanced diet or exercising or getting their wellness checks every year, but they just want everything quick. And easy. Okay. Patita Pavan Prabhu is adding, and easy. So similarly, in Krishna consciousness, we may have the same tendency that we need to, like in 6 months, become a gopi or something like that. Not we, I'm saying like some people.
Where do I sign up?
But actually, like, this process is gradual, like, and we keep working on giving up our anarthas and following the process sincerely, following the four regulative principles. And then gradually, the material diseases that we have, like lust, envy, greed, pride, anger, illusion, they'll go away. And of course, how this can be done is we sincerely take shelter of chanting the holy name. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Also in this purport, I think there are few other points that are being made, like, of course, we touched upon the renunciation aspect and how when one is renounced, he gives up this fear that one may have. And that gift of fearlessness is very valuable, and it represents Krishna. And the second point that is being made is diplomacy and silence. They also represent Krishna.
Diplomacy.
I don't know if I know of anything to speak about. Maybe if any one of you would like to say something about that.
There's a quote from Chanika Pandit where he says that
Narottam Prabhu is going to add something to that.
There's a statement about silence. Of course, Srila Prabhupada discusses about how speaking Krishna consciousness is a real silence. So rather than us talking about, you know, popular television shows or whatever, you know, Prabhupada said, learn the Bhagavad Gita and speak that and nothing else. That's a quote. And as far as diplomacy goes, we have examples like the six Goswamis. When Raghunath Das Goswami was quite young, he went to Lord Chaitanya and he asked Lord Chaitanya if I can just leave my, you know, young wife and my wealthy parents and my situation and just be with you. And then Lord Chaitanya instructed him, no, go back and just act like an ordinary person, like you're attached to your wife and your family and your friends, and just live like that. And you know, privately practice your Krishna consciousness. So sometimes diplomacy is necessary so that we can actually practice Krishna consciousness. I saw in China when I was living there years ago, a young lady, she became serious as a devotee. And when her parents found out, they became irate, saying, you know, how can you spend 2 hours a day chanting, wasting your time mumbling and, you know, and reading about something that's, you know, not even practical in this world. Even if Krishna exists, you know, he's not in this world. You need to be studying and getting a higher degree in college and stop wasting your time. And then they threw her out of the house, and she was living in a cardboard box on the roof of her building, because in communist China, if you get, you know, evicted or removed from your place of residency, the government issues your apartment, so you can't get another apartment. They literally drive you to be homeless like that. So sometimes diplomacy is necessary because people misunderstand. Like when I joined, I was 17, and I remember people thought that being a Hare Krishna was worshiping Satan. And that, you know, and all the deprogrammers came. You might have heard this funny story about my godbrother Damodar. He was here, and we used to walk around the block chanting. This was really like in 1980.
Are you talking about the tall, skinny?
Yeah, Damodar, he's from New York. His family was Jewish. So his mother paid for three deprogrammers to capture him. So he was walking around the block chanting, and then they tackled him out here in the grass. And they forced him into this car they had, you know, black sedan, and zoomed off with him. And they ended up taking him to an abandoned motel in New Mexico. So for 2 days they were there, and they were yelling at him. They had him tied to a chair, and they were yelling at him, "You're nothing but a brainwashed zombie. Why don't you accept Jesus Christ? Worshipping Krishna is satanic. You're doing idol worship. Don't you understand? In the Bible it says that worshipping idols is demoniac." Even the Muslims say that. So then his mother showed up after 2 days, you know, and she was there. "Danny, I'm sorry, Danny. I paid these. I sent these deprogrammers because I didn't want you to become a robot." And he said, "Mom, do you know what they're doing to me?" "No, what happened, Danny? What did they do to you, Danny?" He said, "They're telling me to accept Jesus Christ." And then suddenly she became really angry. And then she turned to the deprogrammers and she said, "Let him go. Let him go right now. You idiots, we're Jews." The Jews don't accept Jesus, you know. So for the whole 2 days, they're telling me accept Jesus Christ. And he was back here like another day after that. We were all laughing about it.
Well, he was great. I mean, when I met him, he was Shrila Gurudev's personal servant here in Dallas in 79.
Thank you, Narottam Prabhu, for sharing. I think the last point that is being made is in this purport is Lord Brahma. He represents the original beautiful couple, Svayambhuva Manu and Shatarupa, that who both emerged from Lord Brahma's body. And actually, if you just read this statement, one may misunderstand how there is Svayambhuva Manu and there is Shatarupa, and they're emerging from Brahma's body. Like, how come they are husband and wife? And if we read Srila Prabhupada's purport, I think we get some clarification. I thought I will just read that before we end. Maybe I'll start from text 52, where this whole description are all the way to text 57. Evam yukta kritastasya daivim chavekshatastada kashya rupam adbud dveda yatkayam abhikchakshate. This is Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 12, Text 52. Translation: while he was thus absorbed in contemplation and was observing the supernatural power, two other forms were generated from his body. They are still celebrated as the body of Brahma. Purport: two bodies came out from the body of Brahma. One had a mustache, and the other had swollen breasts. No one can explain the source of their manifestation, and therefore, until today, they are known as Kayam, or the body of Brahma, with no indication of their relationship as his son or daughter. The two newly separated bodies united together in a sexual relationship. Out of them, the one who had the male form became known as Manu, known as the Manu named Svayambhuva, and the woman became known as Satarupa, the queen of the great soul Manu. Thereafter, by sex indulgence, they gradually increased generations of population one after another. O son of Bharata, in due course of time, he, Manu, begot in Satarupa 5 children, 2 sons, Priyavrat and Uttanapad, and 3 daughters, Akuti, Devahuti, and Prashuti. The father Manu handed over his first daughter Akuti to the sage Ruchi, the middle daughter Devahuti to the sage Kardama, and the youngest Prashuti to Daksha. From them all the world filled with population. Purport: the history of the creation of the population of the universe is given herewith. Brahma is the original living creature in the universe.
from whom were generated the Manu Swayambhuva and his wife Satyarupa. From Manu, 2 sons and 3 daughters were born, and from them all the population in different places has sprung up until now. Therefore, Brahma is known as the grandfather of everyone, and the personality of Godhead, being the father of Brahma, is known as the great grandfather of living beings. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 11:39 as follows: Vayu Yamo Agnir Varuna Shashanka Prajapatis Tvam Prapitamahascha Namo Namaste Stu Sahasrakritva Punascha Bhuyo Api Namo Namaste. You are the Lord of the air, the Supreme Justice Yama, the fire, and the Lord of rains. You are the moon, and you are the great grandfather. Therefore, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you again and again. So, like, this is a little bit about Manu and Shatarupa, right? Yeah, Shatarupa. Like how Srila Prabhupada makes that clarification that although they came from the same body of Lord Brahma, they're not related like a brother and a sister, but they're like two separate entities. Mishra Bhagavan Prabhu.
It seems like our Bible is stories from the Vedas being retold loosely with no parampara, with a little change over the years. But this one sounds like Adam and Eve, the two Manus that you're talking about. Is that possible that the Adam and Eve in the Bible is the same, these Purushas that you're describing here?
At best, I could speculate, so I'm not sure. Narasimha Prabhu is...
Yeah, I have an interesting comment, and there's a popular journalist from England, his name is Graham Hancock, and he combines with a group of PhDs from around the world to investigate the three great myths, flood myths of the world, the myth of Atlantis, the myth of Dwarka, and the myth of Swayambhuva Manu. According to the British, they discounted all of this as mythology because there was nothing to verify it. So Graham Hancock, in cooperation with a number of amazing oceanographers, flood specialists, all these different people, what they do is they go back in time to the end of the last ice age, when there was a great melting of the last ice age and the world flooded. And according to their software, they showed how the world was changed. One of the things that the British stood against the Vedas very strongly was that throughout the Vedas, the river Saraswati is mentioned, but you cannot find the river Saraswati in India. So Graham Hancock, using satellite land surveying, he shows, because in the Vedic literature there's incredibly accurate calculations, both cosmological as well as geographical. So he shows then the bed of the Saraswati was submerged beneath the ocean. It's about maybe 10 to 20 miles off the coast of India, but you can see it from the satellite surveys. And it's 26 kilometers wide. The entire bed of the Saraswati River still exists. And it flows in the way that is described in the Vedic literature. So he said, so that's been, he shows that. And then another thing he does is...
Is this documentary?
Yeah, it's a documentary. You can watch it on YouTube. It's called Lord Krishna's City, Dwarka, okay. A civilization of 12,000 years ago, investigating the great flood myths of the world. And then in the other one, he follows Manu, and in response to Mishra Bhagavan Prabhu's comment, is he brings a group of Christian academicians, people that study Christianity from an academic perspective, not just from a religious perspective, and they said that definitely Noah's Ark was adopted from the Vedic history of Manu. And what... because according to the history, Manu is communicated to by God, and he's told that there will be a cataclysmic flood and that he should gather together everything from the Vedic culture and create a massive ark, a huge boat. And everything should be done during the flood. the avatar of Matsya brings Manu through the cataclysmic flood. And according to these, their geographical and archaeological investigation, he brings the Vedic culture to the foothills of the Himalayas. And it's really interesting, they do archaeological investigations. So according to the Vedic literature, Manu's capital existed nowhere on modern soil. So they try to calculate where it is, and using this flood software. And so then they go out into the ocean, and they, about 150 miles, about 350 kilometers, or whatever that is, 320 kilometers, off the northwest coast of India to a location that's never been investigated. And they go down and they find two cities the size of New York that have never been found before. And there are huge buildings that are 300 feet tall, and they're made out of stones that are like a quarter of the size of this temple room. And they're showing it with oceanography. They're cutting it with tools and everything. And they're showing these are man-made cuts. This is not a formation from the ocean. And then they do like a panoramic view of the city. And they show like major like freeway kind of thoroughfares and different subdivisions and, you know, a whole civilization. And he's saying, look, you have to admit we don't even have this technology today. But even beyond that, they do an archaeological excavation where they dredge the city and they bring up all these different artifacts, like they bring up deities, they bring up dinnerware, they bring up gambling dice, hundreds of things, human things.
All of this is in the same document?
Yes. Lord Krishna's city of Dwarka, a civilization of 12,000 years ago. The man's name is Graham Hancock, John Hancock, Graham Hancock. And
Thank you, Narottam Prabhu. This is really informative.
They carbon test everything, and they show you with, you know, carbon testing that all of these items they date back between 14,000 to 35,000 years in age. And they're saying you have to rewrite the human history based on this investigation. And then, according to the history, Manu, he left that city during this cataclysmic flood, his own city, the capital of Swayambhuva Manu. And he takes the Vedic culture, whatever remains, to the Indus River Valley of India in the Himalayan mountains. And that, on land today, is the oldest archaeological site in the world. And then he does a lot more, gives you a lot more information about Manu and Sanskrit and so many different calculations that verify what we're reading here is not mythology.
Thank you, Narottam Prabhu. Jai. I think I should stop here. Thank you so much for your kind attention. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ki jai.
Jai.